he claims to be the Son of God, what was it that he taught that can be beneficial for us in our walk as we endeavour to manifest godliness in this present time? He taught the gospel of the kingdom. 5 times in the Gospels we find that term. The gospel of the kingdom. And the concept in Israel at the time of his ministration was that the kingdom of Israel was going to be restored. It was not until the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ that the way was made open whereby that could be restored. So in Matthew 4 verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then after his resurrection, the gospel message was extended. It was filled out. It was then shown that there was a way whereby we could be part of that gospel. So in Acts 8 verse 12, we read, that was now the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Understanding what that name means and responding to it is the only way into the kingdom. And obviously this became a big part of the apostles' message. So right throughout the Acts of the Apostles and into the epistles, we find the name of the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized over and over again. When Peter healed the lame man, it's by the name of Jesus that he now walks. And that name was given him because of his sacrifice. He now became anointed. He was the Messiah, the anointed one, and he was the one whom God provided for the salvation of his people. That name is extremely important. The kingdom, 127 times in the 4 Gospels and in Acts, it's mentioned. So it's obviously a very big part of the message that our Lord and the apostles following him had to present to the people of his age and hence to us as well. The gospel of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 1, which we'd like to come to now, which our chairman read for us, we have the Lord spending 40 days after he has risen from the dead with his disciples. And in verse 3 we read, to whom also after he showed himself, to whom also he showed himself after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So if he had a final message to give his disciples, he had just over a month, 40 days left with them before he was to ascend into heaven, as this chapter tells us. Would he not give them the very kernel of his message? Would he not underline and emphasise and put in inverted commas the most important part of the message that he had left with them after his 3.5 years ministry? Of course he would. And so he taught them and reminded them of what he'd said about the kingdom of God. So much so was their understanding of the kingdom and its restoration heightened by this, that after 40 days of conversing with their Lord, they said in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And the interesting part about that is Christ doesn't chastise them for that. He doesn't say, 40 days I've been talking about the kingdom and you got it all wrong. He doesn't say it's not going to be restored. What he does go on to say is it's not for you to know, in verse 7. The times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. That's part of the secret things that had not been revealed at this stage. Don't worry about that. What you've got to do, he says, is go back to Jerusalem. There you'll receive the Holy Spirit, and I want to take you to take the gospel and to preach it throughout the then known world. Don't worry about what you don't know. Teach what you do know. So then when we come over the page to chapter 8 of Acts, we find that Philip is preaching the things of the kingdom of God. And in verse 12, and when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So the name of our Lord Jesus Christ now becomes appended to the gospel of the kingdom. Why? because it was the only way by which they might inherit the kingdom was to be involved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that name indicated the name that the Father had put upon him. He was a manifestation of the Father. And all those who will attain that kingdom will be likewise manifestations of the Father. And we'll only be that if we understand what's required of us. If we understand the character of the God we've got to deal with. If we see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ the very principles that highlight godliness and manifest them in our lives. But you know, and it wasn't some new thing that our Lord had suddenly popped in. Have a look in verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. God had revealed his purpose before unto Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. The one who in Matthew chapter 1 is appended to the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from Abraham. And Abraham became, we're told in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 7, the friend of God. Why? Because he believed God. He believed what God had said would happen. And therefore he was his friend. And then in verse 16, when we turn over the page, we find that to Abraham and his seed were the promises given. So this gospel is now extended. It wasn't just to Abraham. It was to his seed. And he said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. So here's the illustrious Son of God, also son of Abraham and son of David, is the one who receives the full weight of the promises made to Abraham. We haven't got time to go back to Genesis chapter 12, but there we find it set out for us that the promises to Abraham was that in him all nations of the earth should be blessed and that his seed would become multitudinous. And in chapter 30 it says it will be given the land of Israel for an everlasting possession. They're squabbling over that land now. Whose land is it? Well, God has said whose land it is. It's his land. And I've given it to Abraham and to his seed, which here is Christ. He's the rightful heir. He is the son who received the double portion. He's the one that all those promises belong to. How then can that relate to you and me? Well, when we come to the end of that chapter, in verse 26 to 29, we read, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. So belief that this is the word of God, that Jesus is his son, that he is son of God and son of man, faith in him is what is needed. For in verse 27, as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And being baptized into Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And here's the interesting part. If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But back in verse 16, Paul has said, the seed referred to in Genesis chapter 12 is Christ. And now we're being told that by belief and baptism into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can in fact be considered part of that seed. So the offer is open and extended to all of us, if we are prepared to submit to it. So that's the hope of Israel. Because if you're familiar with where the name Israel came from, you'll remember that Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was a wild man and was cast out. But Jacob wrestled with the angel and prevailed and was renamed. And he was called a prince with Israel, Israel. So that hope of Israel is the hope of the believers. And the Apostle Paul speaks of that. Because as we have in Romans chapter 8, he says we're saved by hope. But we could ask the question, well, what is that hope? Well, Acts 28 gives us the answer. Because when the Apostle Paul is in chains in Rome, at the end of his life, and he's bound with that chain, he says, for the hope of Israel, I am bound with that chain. So it's the restoration of the kingdom of Israel that the apostles looked for and questioned our Lord in our reading of Acts chapter 1, verse 6, that is the great hope of Israel. It's the hope of the believers. It's that which gives us the opportunity that we might look forward to the glorious future which shall come. Now in Acts chapter 2, we find that Peter gives a speech on the day of Pentecost. And if you read through that chapter carefully, you will be enlightened enormously about what the gospel message is all about. We just pick up a couple of points. Verse 23, it was him, our Lord Jesus Christ, that being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, so in other words, it was God's determination that a sacrifice was necessary, that they, the Jews, have taken and by the wicked hands of the Romans have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of them. Because he had done no sin, the grave could not hold him. And when we come to verse 27, we read that because thou shalt not my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, quoting from the Psalms, that the Lord Jesus Christ came forth from that tomb, and that tomb, which wasn't far from where Peter was teaching, was now empty. And that empty tomb spake of the resurrection. It was indisputable. So in verse 37, we find that the Jews who had come in for the day of Pentecost now were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? And what does Peter tell them? In verse 38, he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's the hope that's set before us, our dear friends. Our Lord is coming back to the earth. What did he tell his apostles? Back in chapter 1 of Acts, we find that he says in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What a wonderful hope is set before us. We need to get ready for it.